Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And our special guest is our good friend Phil Nelman. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He's a highly acclaimed, award-winning author, advertising, and marketing executive. He's the founder of his own firm, FDN&P Marketing. He's the author of a book called Startup Marketing. He's also the author of a book called 303 Marketing Tips Guaranteed to Boost Your Business. His upcoming book is called Just Say Yes, Extreme Customer Service. And he was part of the launch team of Working Mother Magazine. Some of you who've been listening to me, to the show for a while, know that we've covered the Working Mother Magazine a few times. He's also listed among the nation's top 10 marketing consultants by Entrepreneur Magazine. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us, sir.
Thank
and
you.
Folks, our phone number, if you'd like to join us, Phil can talk to you about a lot of different things involving your small business, especially customer service, especially marketing, especially advertising. If you want to give us a call, we'll stop what we're talking about and we'll talk to you and see if we can help you. 888-822-8255. Phil, one of the things I wanted to talk about was an article that you've written recently. If the customer's always right, how come I always feel wronged? What
right.
made you write this article?
Well, I wrote it because I've heard so many comments from people in reaction to the upcoming book on customer service, and the reactions are typically, what's happened to customer service? Where is it? Does it exist anymore in our culture? We don't feel as consumers as though we're being treated well in terms of the business relationships. And I've been obsessed with researching the issue and finding out why most customers in this country, when surveyed, say that service is either non-existent or poor.
Well, I would have to, if you had surveyed me, I would have had to have said exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
That's my attitude as well.
It's really true, and it's a pet peeve of mine, and it's what caused me to start working on a book about what I call extreme customer service, because even as a consumer myself, I've encountered horrendous experiences with every level of business, from airlines to you name it, to the local bank.
Mm-hmm. You have some good examples in your articles, and I really enjoyed reading the article because it reminded me of several things that happened to me that were similar to what happened to you.
Yeah.
And there are things that you just can't believe this person is doing this.
It's really true. And, you know, some of it, Jim, is so funny that it belongs in a humor column. I had a funny experience with a local pizzeria in my own town, and I probably spend, goodness knows, $1,000-plus dollars a year, maybe more. And I went in to get a few slices of pizza for my son, and they charged me what appeared to me to be the same price as the entire pie, had I purchased a whole pizza pie. When I questioned the owner, who knows me, he said, well, that's because the price per slice is what it is, and the price per pie is. I said, but they're the same. So what I'm buying is three slices and paying the same as eight slices. Mm-hmm. Is there any logic to that? Well, had he been interested in customer service, he would have adjusted it. But the policy comes before the patron.
Right.
And that's what's so bizarre in our culture today.
But you know what? Try to take your policy to the grocery store and buy groceries with that. It won't work, will it?
Right.
No, it's only the cash from the customer can you take to the grocery store. I had something similar to happen to me. I was doing a little bit of remodeling, and I was buying some chair rail.
Mm-hmm.
To go in a dining room,
mm-hmm.
And so I go to the lumber yard, and this is a business that I do a lot of business with in one of my other businesses,
mm-hmm.
And I mean this purchase I was making was nothing, was less than $5, but I was trying to buy a 12-foot piece of chair rail, and I tried to find a piece that was exactly that length so there was no waste, but the closest thing I could find was a 14-foot piece that had a huge knot hole in the 13-foot length, the 13-foot
mm-hmm.
part of it. And so I told them, you know, I want to buy 12 feet of this because I can't use the other 2 feet. And the lady says, I'm sorry, we have to charge you for all 14 feet. And I said, but wait a minute. You see that? It'd been different if the length was perfect.
Sure.
You know, but I said, you know, well, look at that. There's a big hole right there. I can't use that. And she said, well, we have that priced out. And so I actually went and found a manager. Now, this was a $1.89 piece of wood. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. I took this on as a project.
Right.
I went and found a manager, and I asked him about it. And this guy knows me. He knows how much business I do with his company. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I can't. If I cut that off, I can't use that other part. I don't cut anything off less than 6 feet. And I said, but it's unusable. He said, I'm sorry. You know what? I took it back. I told him, I said, I'm taking it back, and I'm putting it on your shelf, and I'm going somewhere else. And you guess what? They let me walk out.
That's, you know, that's what's astonishing. And I think that in most cases, the opposite will happen. If you confront the business, the likelihood is that they'll try to make an adjustment to accomplish the sale. But in your case, they didn't, and I've had the same experience.
If the owner had seen me,
right,
he should have come up to me and said, Jim, please take this wood as my compliment.
That's right.
I'm sorry you had to delay yourself. Please take that and please come back.
That's right.
And you know, a similar situation happened in one of my companies. Mm-hmm. We made some products for a lady and put them in her vehicle where she told us to put it, and we didn't think that they should have blown out, but they did. Mm-hmm. No one thought that they should have. It was really her fault. She brought them back. She sort of looked at me like, these blew out, and she's had this little, you know, real sad look on her face. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, that they blew out. Please give them to us. We'll fix them, and we'll give them back to you. When we gave them back to her, we did not charge her for fixing them, and guess what she did? She ordered a whole bunch more than the original order.
Exactly. And the truth is that, you know, we're looking to buy customers for life. We're looking to keep them as business people. And as customers, we're looking to be nurtured. We're looking to be taken care of and appreciated. So the two-way street is that there's sometimes a need for compromise on either side. But in truth, what's happening today is that the analysts have become cynical about customer service, Jim. They're basically saying, well, as long as the price is low, Americans will tolerate poor customer service, and that is just not the case.
No, that's exactly right. There's too many places that you can buy whatever you need
right
these days. You've got to have customer service. Phil, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're talking about customer satisfaction, the lack of which, seemingly, in America these days, the poor customer service that more and more of us seem to be getting, with our good friend Phil Noman, the author of Startup Marketing, an entrepreneur's guide to advertising, marketing, and promoting your business. And, you know, Phil, I know you're an expert in advertising and marketing and everything, but you can spend a gazillion dollars bringing people into your business, and if you don't treat them right when they get there, you basically might as well have set your money on fire.
That's a wonderful, wonderful expression. What happened recently with a client of mine illustrates what you just said, Jim. I was brought into a meeting where the client's attorney and accountant and managers were all seated at the conference room table, and the purpose of the meeting was to basically beat me up for poor performance in terms of marketing.
Uh-huh.
And as I sat there, one of the other consultants who questioned the fact that over a period of some months, the marketing did not generate a large increase in sales. And he said something which I had not thought to say at that point in the meeting, and thank goodness he said it. And that was, well, you track customer count, don't you? And he said, yes. He says, well, let's look at those figures during the past 3 months.
Good for him.
27% increase in customer count, no sales increase. He said, Mr. Nolman here has done his job. He delivered 27% more bodies to your business, and you didn't know how to sell them. So, you know, it's an issue of, as we've discussed, Jim, empowering the employees, giving them the opportunity to delight the customer when they arrive in the business. So marketing's job is to get them there, and then it's the job of customer service and sales training to make the sale. So
you know,
it's a good illustration of how we fall down.
And of course, when we talk about customer service, we're not just talking about waiting on customers and selling them the stuff that they want when they come in, but also we're talking about making them happy when things go wrong.
Absolutely.
Which sometimes more and more seems like could be only a second between I'm happy to be here to buy your stuff and the next second I'm not happy and I've got to complain.
Yes, yes.
That it can change that quickly.
Exactly.
But you were saying something a minute ago I thought was interesting. To just sort of paraphrase, I'll try to do this correctly, what you said is that business has basically given up on providing good customer service?
Yeah, the analysts on Wall Street, and there are many, came out with a statement recently, a consensus, and it appeared in the New York Times. And basically it said that the American consumer does not expect a high level of customer service because they've been trained not to, and they've been trained to only look for price. So we have a cynical base of customers. In my research, I discovered exactly the opposite. We would like to be led to believe by businesses that we don't need a high level of customer service because it costs a lot to train people correctly. And corporate America and right on down to the filter into small business culture has not paid attention to adequate training because it's expensive, time-consuming, and you have to get real creative.
Comment about customers in America don't expect good customer service, that was an excuse for just not providing it because
exactly.
I go back in the 60s and early 70s, I was in retail.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember when you could go to Sears or Penny's or any of those businesses, and you met professionals there. You met people who were professionals in retail. They knew their job. They knew their business, and you could get good service there. And then about the mid-70s, everything changed. Things started changing. The profit margins, we were in a recession. The profit margins went down a lot. And you actually had companies like Sears saying, we can't even afford to have a Santa Claus this year.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, that's when what you just said a minute ago started happening. But instead of customers, the customers didn't announce to these companies, hey, I don't need your customer service. The companies announced to the customers, we're not going to give you the kind of customer service you've been used to.
That's right. You know, it's interesting because when you look at customer service and what we expect and what we want, the American Society of Quality Control did the poll, and the results of the poll indicated that what we're most angry about when we encounter poor customer service is indifference.
Yeah.
That's what we get.
Stand by. We're going to come back. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk to you about how small business can shine in the face of this analysis information out of Wall Street. Got some good ideas for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. Phil Noman is our special guest. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate. Phil Noman is our good friend and our special guest. He's the author of Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, and Promoting Your Business. He also has another book out called 303 Marketing Tips Guaranteed to Boost Your Business. And his upcoming book is Just Say Yes, Extreme Customer Service. Phil, tell us where we can get your books.
Well, they're available in all the bookstores around the country. Of course, on the web through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, etc. So they're out there.
But folks, I have in my hand Startup Marketing. I also have in my possession 303 marketing tips to guarantee to boost your the success of your business. Please check those out. You won't regret it. And Phil, tell us, when is the new one coming out?
It'll be out early fall. I would say just around September, October.
You'll be sure to keep us posted so we can get you back on and talk
Thank
about
you.
That.
Yes.
And take a half a minute and tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, the company is a full-service marketing company. We do everything from the strategic work, that is the analysis of a market for a business, the creative execution. We do all the creative production, which I oversee. We also do what we call basically motivation and sales training so that the carry-through from marketing, which brings people into the business, right through the sales process takes place. And we have a group of people who work on both ends of that.
On the creative side, are you doing any electronic stuff, any website work?
Yeah, we are. We're doing a lot more website work because our clients are demanding it, mm-hmm. and it's so much a part of our culture now that the new media, as it's called, is taking over a lot of campaigns.
Are you seeing a shift in expenses for collateral material moving from the hard goods, the brochures, over to developing the websites?
Unquestionably. And if you look around the country, it's striking. We have clients who are in the catalog direct mail business. In 2 years, they won't have catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Sharper Image, they will go completely from, as you've said, the hard goods with mailing costs and paper and printing right to webs.
There are a zillion trees around the world heaving a sigh of relief.
That's right. That's right. They're clapping with their branches.
Yes. Yes.
You're right.
By the way, you didn't tell us how to contact you. How can we find out about you?
I'm reachable at toll free at 888-440-3367.
And a website.
And the website is pnullman@fdnp.com.
FDNP.com is the website, right?
That's correct.
Okay, all right. And P. Nullman is your email, obviously.
Correct.
And www.fpnp. I'm sorry, say it again.
FDNP.com. Right, I'm sorry. That's
That's okay. I missed it up to you. Let's go back and talk about a little bit about what we can do, some of the things that small business owners can do to really shine. See, when I hear you say things like the information that you said was coming out of Wall Street that customers don't really, in America, don't really expect good service these days. You know, they've come to be happy with less than, even less than mediocrity or whatever. Usually those are my words, not the analyst words, but that's essentially what they said. When I hear that, I see dollars.
Yeah.
As a small business owner, I see dollars. That doesn't upset me. That makes me excited because if that's what they believe, then that's what the big guys are doing. That's how they're working with their employees and their managers, and that's all they're expecting their customers to give them, and so they're only going on price. And if you and I are right, and I agree with you when you say you disagree with that report, I agree with you, and if we are right, then that means small business has more opportunity than we ever thought.
Absolutely. And we're seeing, and I'm seeing, more and more small businesses shine in terms of taking business away from larger corporations, whether it's on the retail level or beyond.
And they're not outpricing them.
No, they're not. And the thing that we do know, and we absolutely know it statistically through Gallup and other organizations, is that as customer service goes up, price sensitivity goes down.
Yes.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is, Jim, if you take that and you extend it for the small business person, there's a company called the Customer Retention Practice, and they publish a newsletter. And in the most recent issue, they're talking about the fact that if a small business looks at the opportunity to increase business within their existing customers versus prospect new customers, there's no question that it's more economical to boost your business with your existing customers. And you do that through extreme customer service.
Yep.
Keep them as part of your culture.
No question about it. I'm not sure. I probably haven't said this to you before, but I've mentioned this on the air before. I had the executive of a state banking organization. That state's banking organization told me that if banks would focus on the customers that they have rather than finding new customers, that he believed that they wouldn't need a new customer for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That if they just took care of all the needs of their existing customers, they wouldn't need a new one for 5 years.
That's right. That's right. And it's true across the board.
Right. No question. Phil, we're going to take a break in a few seconds. One of the things I want to talk about when we come back are some of the emotions that customers have, you and I have as customers, some of the emotions that we have, what those feel like, and how to identify those as businesses to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our customers by recognizing their emotions when they're buying from us.
Absolutely.
Stand by. It's 39 After Folks. Phil Nullman and I will be right back. We're back. It's 44 After. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want you to know that I appreciate your business. Our special guest is our good friend Phil Nelman. He's the author of Startup Marketing, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Advertising, Marketing, and Promoting Your Business, as well as his other book, which is also out, 303 Marketing Tips Guaranteed to Boost Your Business. They're online. They're available in bookstores. I recommend that you check them out, folks. They're both good. I have both of them in my possession. Phil, we're talking about your article, and one of the things that I liked about your article is it included some words that are really important that as small business owners that we focus on with our customers, and that is some of these words that really are emotions, mm-hmm. basically. And one of them, and you might not say this is emotion, but it really is recognition.
Yeah.
Talk to us about recognition.
Well, I was intrigued because when Gallup issued a poll not too long ago, they said that the number one factor, and as you've said, it is an emotion in a sense, that what people want from the businesses they do business with is, number one, above all else, to be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's critical, and it's something that we use in marketing all the time, is to reach out to the customer and understand that they need to be nurtured, they need to be taken care of. There are two basic emotions that dictate why we buy. One is fear. And the other is love, though not in the, you know, the romantic sense,
right.
But the emotional sense.
Right.
We are, as customers, afraid of being taken advantage of, so that's an issue that businesses, small businesses, has to be aware of. And we want to be passionate about the experience, if not about the product, about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're buying a plunger for our toilet or a diamond ring for our fiancé, we want the experience to be a quality experience. And the truth of the matter is that small business people have to recognize that business can be fun. You and I have talked about this.
It has to be.
It has to be fun.
Let's go do something else.
Exactly. And if you can't have fun with your customer in a congenial way and develop a relationship that's lasting, then you're right. Do something else.
Another one that you mentioned, and this is something that really is really funny to me. As a marketing professional, as an expert in the field, I know you talk about brand loyalty. You probably say those two words 100 times a day.
Yeah.
Brand loyalty to
yeah.
somebody, or somebody says that to you. And here are all these Wall Street companies chasing brand loyalty on the one hand, and then on the other hand, they buy into this report that you're talking about.
That's right.
Aren't those two things mutually exclusive?
They really are.
And just to remind people, the report was, in case you just tuned in, the report was that customers in America don't really care about customer service these days.
Right. The fact is that, in my opinion, and I believe yours as well, this report was designed to, to justify the fact that we don't address customer service in corporate America. There is no reality to it. Brand loyalty is something that every research organization in our industry, Jim, has said is the most compelling issue among small businesses as we enter the millennium. The most compelling issue, because the small business, the pizzeria around the corner or the hair salon or the small insurance agent or the bagel store, each of those businesses has an opportunity to create their own brand identity within their own community and become number one.
And they want that loyalty. And you know, Phil, I'm going to say something that I've never heard anyone else say. I'm working on an article myself, and I've included this concept in there. But you tell me if you've ever heard anyone else say it. You probably thought of it. Customers want to be loyal to you, the business owner.
Absolutely.
I believe that is a human desire. That's a human trait, is to want to be happy with your service and to want to go back to do business with you.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
You don't hear people talking about that much, though, do you?
No, it's true. And the fact is that, like friendship, we want a comfort level that we reach with the businesses in our life, and we want, basically, although it's a little bit different than social friendship, we want friendship.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. We want the relationship to be have a good, solid foundation and an ongoing sense of nurture.
Now what I want to do is I want to plug in something that's critical, and it goes back to all the things we've been talking about, especially in the early part of the hour, and that is, how do you get customers to be loyal to you? If you are the owner of the small business and you've got a half a dozen employees or 60 employees, you know that you can't be with every customer during every transaction. So what you've got to do, and Phil, you and I were talking about this earlier in the hour off the air, you've got to empower your employees to deliver customer service. It's not automatic, is it?
No, it's not automatic at all. And, you know, statistically, small businesses have to be aware that 68% of customers are lost through poor customer service. That is a fact. There is no question that if we take good care of them, they will not only come back, they'll come back more often.
Yeah.
And you're right.
And don't forget, they want to come back. When a customer walks in, they're looking for love.
Right.
And if you love them, then they will come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think some of the quick questions the small business person can ask of themselves and their employees is, you know, is everybody working as a team?
Yep.
How effective are they? How many of your customers would you estimate would buy from your company again?
Yep. Phil, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. When we come back, I've got a couple of other emotions that Phil has been talking about in his article I want him to talk to us about. We'll be right back with Phil Nomen, the author of Startup Marketing. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
On a Sunday afternoon.
We're back. And we're grooving with my friend, Phil Nomen, author of Startup Marketing, author of 303 Marketing Tips Guaranteed to Boost Your Business, and the president and the founder of FDNP. Phil, give us your website again one more time, please.
Sure. It's FDNP.com.
Okay. And the phone number, the 800
number? 888-440-FDNP.
All right. Good. Phil, let's wrap up the hour by talking about a little bit more about some emotions. A couple of more words that you mentioned here. Now, this one is sort of, if you said this to some people, they'd say, well, that sounds pretty good, and it's basic satisfaction. What do you get when you just basically satisfy a customer?
Well, again, research has shown us that if we satisfy a customer, they look elsewhere.
Well, at least they're easy pickings for someone else.
They sure are. They everybody expects to be at least satisfied, or they're absolutely out of the business relationship.
But tell us the two words that we really want to make sure that when our customers leave, they feel these two emotions.
Well, we want to excite and delight them, and when we do that, we have the customer as an advocate for our business, sending others to our business. So there's the critical difference.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, because you know, obviously you believe in advertising, I believe in advertising, but as you said, you cannot get all the business you need just from advertising. And the best business that you can get is from someone who refers you.
Absolutely. And you know, if you think about it, Jim, and you and I, you know, we travel, and I have a couple of favorite restaurants in New York where I do business, and I bring clients, and the reason I'm so loyal and the reason that they basically own me is that they take extraordinary care in delighting and exciting me.
And they can't run you off, can they?
I'm sorry?
They can't run you off.
No, they can run me off. I'm there. I'm back there. I can't wait to go back. You know, they have to bar the door. So it's really a question of understanding that we're all human beings. We respond emotionally. And if we're treated well, then there's no reason to look elsewhere.
Define extreme customer service. I know that's the title of your next book.
Mm-hmm.
Or just say yes to extreme customer service. Define extreme customer service for us.
Extreme customer service is basically providing a value-added component to the relationship that goes way beyond the norm. And it can be anything from a simple gesture that gives the customer a value-added component in terms of the price, in terms of the guarantee, in terms of the relationship. In many industries, an extreme customer service gesture is a guarantee which provides what I call complete risk reversal. The business takes all the risk and responsibility for the transaction, so the customer has no reason, none whatsoever, not to buy, based on quality, return policy, guarantee, price, etc.
And don't forget, folks, if you're employees are not empowered to do what Phil just said, and you can't be involved in every customer transaction, then you're going to lose. You've got to empower your employees to do what you would have done.
That's right.
Or at least what, 98-99% of what you would have done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Phil, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. As always, you did a great job. Thank you so much for sharing time with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And we'll do it again real soon.
Okay, great.
Talk to you later.
Thank
Phil
you.
Nolman, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend. He's the author of Startup Marketing, and also his other book is called 303 Marketing Tips Guaranteed to Boost Your Business. I've got to go for now. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.